Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window, coming to you from home as I talk with Carly Sciorentino Poulter, director of the ARC Advocacy Network, about the importance of future planning when you have a loved one with a disability and special considerations during this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. Hello, Carly.
Hi, Michelle, and thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's so nice to see you. It's been a while, huh?
It has been, and it's great to see you too.
Thank you. And let's talk about, you said you wanted to talk about future planning in general, and I think that's really appropriate for this time of uncertainty.
Sure.
So talk about why that's important.
You know, I think that this pandemic has really kind of highlighted the need to make plans that maybe we were putting off, or think about things that, quite frankly, we didn't want to think about in the first place. But as responsible parents and as responsible family members, that's something that we really need to do. And it's not just about this pandemic. And that's one of the other things that I want to highlight. I think this pandemic has raised certain issues and has made us recognize things that we may not have thought about before. But I think that planning for the future is just something that's important for us to do, whether we've got a pandemic going on or whether, you know, we're trying to make plans in case, you know, we have to have a hip replacement or a knee replacement and go into a rehabilitation center for a couple of months to recover ourselves. So that's why it's important is it that bigger picture, you know, life thing, not just COVID thing.
That's for sure. And one thing I think families think about is having standby guardians, co-guardians. Can you explain why that's important, particularly again in this time, and how families can name those types of guardians?
Absolutely. And so, you know, one of the things that we also saw, especially during this pandemic, was families suddenly thinking that they needed to get guardianship just in case something happened. And I will say off, you know, just right off the bat that, you know, if somebody hasn't needed a guardian to this point, just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean they suddenly need one. There are a lot of other alternatives in there that will help families get the results that they want without necessarily having to take away an individual's rights through guardianship. So first of all, there are some alternatives. And if it's okay, I'd like to talk about those just a little bit.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
And especially because those alternatives don't require you to go to court. So one of the things that we've experienced right now, you know, in this pandemic is that most courts have been closed. And some courts have been able to take emergency cases as those have come up. In fact, they have. But if it hasn't been an emergency, you know, they're still waiting in the court for that. So a lot of those alternatives don't require that. So first, I'd like to talk about a healthcare representative, because a lot of families were really concerned about what happens if my loved one develops COVID-19 and how do I help, you know, guide those medical decisions? How can I stay involved? How can I be in the hospital with them? And those are all separate questions, but we tend to lump them together. Because I will tell you right off the bat that a lot of hospitals were not even allowing guardians in the hospital. Some were, some weren't. And that's a separate discussion. But a healthcare representative is when someone is competent, when they're doing well, when everything is okay, they identify somebody to make medical decisions for them if they're no longer able to do that. Now, you don't have to have a specific form for that. You can just, you know, write something out. But at the same time, state does actually have a specific form for a healthcare representative. And that just makes life a whole lot easier because those medical offices recognize that form. But it's really designed so that if something were to happen to you, you're designating, you know, your sister, your mother, your whomever to make decisions on your behalf. And this is important during COVID, but this is just kind of an important thing to have in general so that, you know, if you got into a car accident, you've got somebody who can step in and make medical decisions if you're not able to. And as I said, while you don't have to have a specific form for that, the state does have one available and you just have to sign it. You know, you print it up, you sign it. You don't, that's not even one you have to have notarized. So that's the other nice thing. And it's something that's changeable. So for example, if I designated my sister to be my healthcare representative and she moved out of state, I could designate somebody else to be my healthcare representative if necessary. Okay. One of the other options is power of attorney. And again, power of attorney does not have to go through the court system. That one does need to be notarized. And the nice thing about power of attorney is it can be as general or as specific as you'd like it to be. So, you know, you can give power of attorney with Verizon Wireless, in which case whoever you've designated can talk with Verizon Wireless. They can make decisions with Verizon Wireless. But if they need to talk to Chase Bank, you're out of luck because you didn't give them that permission. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's actually been something that has been, that has also been very important during this time. The thing is, you have to have that in advance, because if somebody is already incapacitated, they can't give their power of attorney. And so I had a call from a family where actually it was an older adult. A woman called me. Her mother, who was in her 80s, developed COVID and was in the hospital. And she was just trying to figure out, I want to pay my mom's bills. I want to make sure her mortgage is paid. I want to make sure, you know, all of that is paid. And because they didn't already have a power of attorney in place, that meant the daughter had to then go get temporary emergency guardianship over her mother just to make sure that her bills were paid. So that's why it's important. And again, we're talking, you know, in that, you know, in the realm of COVID or in the, you know, with COVID going on, but this is just, these are just some important documents to have in general in case something happens. And that's all part of that future planning process. The Arc of the United States actually has a Center for Future Planning. And one of the things that they have is a free cloud-based program called Build My Plan. And they break future planning down into multiple different segments. And the nice thing about it is you can work on one section and not feel totally overwhelmed and go back to it when you're ready and change it when you're ready. But the other nice thing about it is, since it's cloud-based, if you know, you and your loved one are living in Indianapolis and their sibling who still wants to stay involved is living up in Chicago, everybody can still log into it. And that's perfectly fine, but it makes it more manageable. And one of the other great things about Build My Plan is that it is very self-advocate focused, because a lot of times we tend to make future plans and it doesn't dawn on us to include the person that we're planning for. And it's not because, you know, we're being, you know, we're doing anything shady. It's, right. I hate to admit it, it's just that we don't think about it. But the person who this is about should be the one driving, you know, that. So families should know that that's a resource out there for them too. I would also encourage them to look at a lot of the resources through Charting the Life Course and the Life Course.
Oh, Life Course. I love the Life Course.
It has a lot of great materials in there.
Oh my goodness, it's so good.
Especially when it comes to planning for the future. You know, because if you do a lot of these things in advance and well ahead of time, when a crisis does erupt, we know we've got all these plans already made. We've got all these resources identified. We know who to go to, and it just makes life easier. And so all of those Life Course materials are available for free at lifecoursetools.com. And it's certainly something that I would absolutely use as part of my future planning, you know, toolkit in there. So,
And let's go into the fact that if you have, you know, if you want someone to manage your benefits,
right?
If you're in a situation where you cannot manage your benefits,
right?
Talk about the how advanced designation of a representative payee works.
So that's something that's actually brand new. Federal law was passed in 2018 to make this an option. So if someone is getting Social Security disability benefits, whether it's SSI or SSDI, and they don't have a rep payee, they're managing their funds themselves, one of the things that they can do is they can advance designate someone to become the rep payee if they're needed. So for example, let's say that you've got somebody and they are managing their own money, And maybe that's with supports. But then they go into the hospital or something happens and they're no longer able to manage their funds. If they have done this advanced designation process, then what they've done is they have made a list of up to three people who they would want to step in as their rep payee while they're unable to manage their funds. Now, this is something that could be temporary. And when you advance designate someone, that does not make them the rep payee right away. Okay. And it is not something that is permanent. You can always go in and change that. So, you know, if you had your sister or you had your mom as your rep payee designate, but then mom got older or if mom passed away, then you can designate sister, you know, and things like that. So, but it is not something that is permanent. And it does not automatically put someone in charge of your money. That only happens if for some reason you become incapable of managing your money on your own. So.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. A subject that has come up over the last couple of years has been supported decision-making mm-hmm. as an alternative to guardianship. So what can families and people with disabilities do to implement supported decision-making as an alternative to guardianship or add it on as their legal guardianship?
Absolutely. And again, this is a time where the need has been highlighted for why this is important. So with supported decision making, you know, one of the things is to stop and, you know, help a person with a disability figure out who are the people that they can go to for certain things. And who can they go to help give them advice and give them information, but still respect the fact that the person with a disability is making that decision. And so I'll use my own son as an example of this, because we identify, you know, those people that he can go to whenever he has questions. Who does he go to when he needs support? And that may not always be the same person. You know, you may go to, Aunt Anne when you've got medical questions because Aunt Anne is a nurse. But if you've got a question about cars or some type of, you know, machinery is broken, you call Uncle Bobby because that man can fix anything, you know. And so you think about what those things in life that we constantly deal with and who are the people that we can go to gather advice, you know, and yes, that can be family, but it can also be friends and it can also be, you know, provider. So, you know, we've identified that, you know, Andy can, you know, if Andy's having trouble with something, he can also talk to his behaviorist. He can talk to his psychologist. He can talk to his case manager to get some of that information and help walk him through that. But the important part of that is making sure that whoever you build around as your supported decision-making team respects the person's authority to make their own decisions and will respect their own decisions even if they don't necessarily agree with them. And let's be honest, that's what we do in our own lives too. You know, when we were 18, 19, 20 years old, our parents didn't agree with all the we made either.
That's true.
And you know what? They were right. We made lousy decisions when we were 18.
That's true too.
We learned from that too.
Yes.
So, you know, a big part of that supported decision-making piece is helping to build that team, and people will come in and out of that team as life progresses. So that's something that's pretty fluid. But at the same time, you know, we're working with the individual to especially, you know, when they're younger, to teach them what questions to ask, teach them what information to consider, teach them that if they're looking for information on the internet, check the source. You know, I tell my kids all the time, Wikipedia is not the best source for things. Can't necessarily trust the information. And so, you know, while we talk about supported decision making in terms of people with disabilities, we all use supported decision making. Mm-hmm. And so that's important too. And one of the things, especially as we are talking about planning for the future, you know, supported decision making helps someone maintain their independence. It helps a person learn how to become more independent.
Yes.
And so this isn't an all or nothing thing. This is a progression, just like everything else in life. And so we want to make sure people, you know, have the right to make their own decisions in life and determine what they want in life to achieve their vision of a good life, while also making sure that they've got the supports around to keep them safe and to keep them supported.
Well, and I was thinking when I was researching all of this that when you sit down with a family, this can seem overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming for me, and I'm the one interviewing you about the subject. But when you sit down with families, is there a time where you say, okay, we need to do a timeline?
Sometimes. And the other thing I want to stress is that none of this is set in stone. You know, you can make your plan and change it a year later, you know, and it's something that's evolving. And the other thing I will also tell families is take things in chunks, you know, especially when we're talking about, you know, what is your vision of a good life? Holy cow, you're right. That's totally overwhelming. But what does a good first year of high school look like? Mm. What does a good first job look like? When we're ready for a different job, what does a good second job look like? You know, and so kind of break that up into chunks to make it more manageable, so that it doesn't seem as overwhelming and as scary, because let's be honest, it does.
It does.
Recognizing that you can always change.
Yes.
So how many of us have ever had our life work out the way we planned it to?
Girl, no. No. And I think you realize that as you get older and go through these processes, mm-hmm. is that nobody knows
right.
really where their life is going. They just go with it as it comes. But let's talk about the fact that the ARC Advocacy Network, I mean, we have a team of wonderful individuals, and you guys have researched yourselves and you live lives of great advocacy yourself. Right. So talk about how people can contact you and things sure. like that.
Well, and we actually have advocates who are certified in future planning through the ARC of the United States as well, because there are a lot of moving parts to all of that. And they can call any one of us. Our phone number is 317-977-2375, or you can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-382-9100. And we can talk about, you know, all sorts of things, whether that's, you know, whether that's the day-to-day decisions, whether that's talking about how much support, how you figure out how much support a person may need, or whether it's talking about, you know, planning for a time when mom and dad are gone. You know, not only those day-to-day decisions, but those benefit decisions, and then those financial matters too, because there are a lot of moving parts to all of this.
There are, but thank you. But you know what? You guys are a wonderful team, and I'm so happy that I get to work with you. Thank you so much, Carly. So much for here taking too. The time today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle, for having me.
And special thanks to our sponsor, the National Bank of Indianapolis, and thanks to Indiana's Division of Disability and Rehabilitative Services for their support and collaboration. Thank you for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.